Welcome to Deep Dive. We're here to streamline information and give you that ultimate knowledge shortcut. Look, if you've ever found yourself staring at an empty room, maybe doom scrolling Pinterest, and just feeling completely defeated, well, this deep dive is definitely for you. We are talking about hiring an interior designer, that one professional who can honestly fundamentally transform your space, and maybe more importantly, keep you from sinking thousands into mistakes you'll really regret later. Finding the right design pro can feel like this huge, overwhelming risk assessment. Our source material today totally gets that friction, but it insists the right designer. They're the absolute game changer, unlocking value, function, and of course, the look you want. So our mission today is to cut through all that complexity. We want to hand you a clear, tactical roadmap for a hiring process that's actually successful and maybe even fun.
Yeah, and that roadmap is really built on you being a prepared client.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key phrase here. The sources we looked at, they all confirm success boils down to three main areas. First, strategic sourcing, basically knowing where to look. Second, rigorous client, prep the homework you need to do before you even start looking. And third, detailed vetting, having the right questions ready to really test if they're competent, if they're a good fit. Skip any of these, honestly, and you're kind of risking failure right from the start.
I love that framing. Success starts with client preparation.
Yes.
Okay, but let's start with the hunt itself. You've decided you need help. Where do you even begin looking for design talent that's, you know, talented, available, and crucially fits the budget? Our sources highlighted three pretty distinct places that cater to different needs.
Right. And these top three, they were picked carefully because they really span the whole spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
You've got flexible freelance options right up to like fully managed high-end virtual services.
Okay, first one up. The freelance giant, Upwork. This seems fantastic if you have a very specific, maybe limited scope, like say you just need space planning or maybe just sourcing furniture for one room. The platform lets you browse profiles, check out detailed portfolios, read reviews, which is obviously essential for vetting early on. So if you prioritize talking directly to the freelancer and you want flexible, project-based pricing, Upwork seems like a really strong starting point.
Yeah, definitely. And while Upwork is about finding that one specific freelancer, the next one, Decorella, is quite different.
Yeah.
It's an online interior design service, but it has this really structured, almost competitive approach. What's fascinating, I think, is how they manage risk for the client. When you sign up, they match you with professionals based on your style preferences, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you get custom design concepts from two different designers. You only actually commit once you've seen both concepts and picked your favorite. It's a neat way to reduce uncertainty.
Oh, that's interesting. Sort of like a mini competition. And the value goes beyond just the drawings, right? They provide photorealistic 3D renderings, which, wow, must remove a huge amount of visualization risk for people, and a fully tailored shopping list. But here's the bit that caught my eye. That shopping list often gives you access to exclusive trade discounts. Depending on your project's scale, I mean, the savings from those discounts alone could potentially offset the entire design fee.
That's exactly the kind of strategic advantage we look for. It's not just design, it's value. Okay, and finally, number three is Hers. Now, Hers isn't just a directory. It's this colossal, comprehensive hub for everything home design. It functions as just an unparalleled source for visual inspiration. You can browse millions of photos, literally, and then use that inspiration to filter their massive directory of professionals.
Right, and the key advantage with Hers seems to be the depth of its vetting tools. You can filter by location, budget, style, the usual suspects. But critically, the platform includes reviews and ratings from previous clients, so you can align yourself not just with the designer's style, but with their actual track record, how they manage projects, how satisfied clients were. That's huge.
It really is. So those platforms give you access. But hold on, before you click send on that first inquiry email, you, the listener, really need to pause. The sources stress this again and again. The biggest reason projects fail isn't always bad designers. It's client ambiguity, not knowing what you want. Which brings us neatly to your essential homework.
Absolutely. Makes sense. The designer can only bring your vision to life if you've actually defined that vision clearly first. So the first piece of homework is getting real. Know your budget.
And we mean really know it. There's often a gap between what you want to spend and what you realistically can spend. That gap. It's a source of endless tension. Being honest about your financial limits from the get-go dictates the project's scope. If the funds just aren't quite there yet, the sources suggest having a savings plan ready, or knowing exactly where you might need to value engineer, find savings. A firm budget protects you, the client, from scope creep later on. It keeps things grounded.
And keeps the relationship with the designer healthy, I imagine. Okay, next up, set a timeline. And the crucial word here, according to the sources, is reasonable.
Yeah, be realistic about the scale. A full home renovation. That takes serious planning, long lead times for materials, contractor schedules. You're probably looking at temporary relocation, too. We're talking months. Maybe even over half a year for something big. But even a seemingly simple one-room upgrade, you know, paint, furniture, that can easily take a full week of pretty disruptive work inside your home. You absolutely need to build buffer time into that timeline. Things always take longer.
Okay, that makes sense. But I'm curious. Most big projects seem to hit unavoidable snags, right? Supply chain delays, maybe a contractor gets sick, permitting issues. How do our sources advise clients handle that inevitable timeline slippage? Does it just blow up the plan?
Well, that's precisely why the preparation is strategic. The client has to build that buffer into their own schedule up front and communicate it clearly to the designer. So if you secretly need the project done in 6 months, maybe tell the designer you need it ready in 8. Plan for 7, hope for 6, contract for 8, kind of thing. This contingency gets factored into the initial contract, managing everyone's expectations right from day one. It avoids panic later.
Smart. Proactive expectation management. Okay, the third homework item, a core decision point. Research local versus online. And this isn't about quality necessarily, right? It's more about physical necessity.
Exactly. If your project involves moving actual infrastructure, changing layouts, moving plumbing, relocating lighting fixtures, electrical rewiring, then local help is basically non-negotiable. An in-person designer understands local building codes. They often know the reputable local contractors, which is invaluable. And crucially, they can physically oversee the installation and sign off on technical work.
Right. So local designers are key for risk mitigation, compliance, anything structural. Whereas online services are a great alternative if it's more about aesthetic planning, concepts, sourcing furniture. Basically, if no walls are moving. Makes perfect sense.
Precisely. Okay, the final piece of homework. And arguably the most enjoyable one. Figure out your style and gather inspiration.
You've got to define your aesthetic goal. If you're just doing one room, look at the rest of the house. Does the new design need to flow or can it be distinct? I found it fascinating that the sources suggest maybe starting with just one single piece you already own and love, like a piece of art or a rug, a favorite cushion, and using that as the foundation, the starting point for the color palette, the texture.
Yeah, that gives the designer an immediate, tangible reference point, something concrete to build on. Defining your style can be simple. You can take an online style quiz or just start pinning images like crazy on Pinterest. But the critical action here is creating an inspiration folder. This folder isn't just for you. It's your primary communication tool with the designer. It needs to clearly show saved images of styles you like, color palettes, finishes, types of furniture, even functional layouts you admire. The clearer this folder is, the faster and more accurately the designer can get to work translating your vision.
Okay, fantastic. Prep work is done. You've got your budget nailed down, your realistic timeline. That crucial inspiration folder is bursting with ideas. Now you've maybe shortlisted a few designers from Upwork, Decorilla, or Hose. This is where it gets tactical. The essential vetting stage. Let's walk through these 10 crucial questions. The ones that give you real insight into their competence and, maybe just as important, their strategic fit for your project.
Okay, let's do it. We'll start with the logistical foundations. First, critical question. Pretty straightforward. Can you provide 3 professional references and examples of your credentials? And if you're considering someone maybe more entry level or perhaps a budget focused designer, this question becomes even more crucial. You need proof they're legitimate and you need a chance to actually talk to previous clients about how they managed the project, communication, the whole process.
Good point. Verifying skills, especially project management. Okay, next is about defining scope. What interior design services do you actually offer? You need to understand their full package because these service offerings can vary wildly between designers, right? For instance, you absolutely need to know, do they handle procurement, buying this stuff?
Yes, and this is key because procurement means they handle the ordering, the logistics, tracking deliveries, receiving items, inspecting for damage, all of it.
Right.
That takes a massive logistical burden off your shoulders. It's a huge value add. Other critical services to ask about might include site measurement and assessment, space planning, and full project management oversight. Knowing exactly what they do, and just as importantly, what they don't do, prevents unpleasant surprises and sticker shock later.
Yeah, clarity up front saves headaches later. That leads right into understanding their process. How do you structure your typical project flow? You want to make sure they follow a logical sequence, something like an initial consultation, then a transparent discussion about fees, then concept presentation, a clear feedback loop, finalizing details, and then execution. It tests their organization, their time management, and how transparent they are about the journey.
Exactly. And that flows directly into perhaps the most important logistical question, Q4, which really tests budget alignment. How do you charge? Our sources break down three primary fee structures, and honestly, the one you choose depends a lot on your own personality as a client and how you like to work.
Okay, let's unpack these because, yeah, this is where the money is potentially saved or lost. First up, the flat rate.
A flat rate or fixed fee is often ideal if you anticipate needing frequent calls, maybe you change your mind a bit, or you just want constant contact and reassurance. You pay one set price for the agreed-upon scope, regardless of the hours they actually spend. The strategic benefit? Price certainty. It prevents scope creep from turning into runaway hourly billing. The downside? It often costs a bit more upfront because the designer has to price in the risk of you needing extra time.
Right. Pricing in the hand-holding. Okay. Then there's the hourly rate.
This can work great for smaller, very clearly defined tasks, or if you're someone who makes decisions quickly and doesn't need much back and forth, it often seems cheaper initially. But it carries a high risk if you're prone to indecision. If you take, say, 3 weeks agonizing over a tile sample, those delay hours, that thinking time, it's often still billable. The clock is always ticking. It can punish the client for their own ambivalence, in a way.
Ooh, yeah, that could add up fast. Okay, and the third method, percentage of project cost.
This usually applies to large, high-value projects. Think full home builds, major renovations with big budgets. Here, the designer's fee is directly tied to the overall expenditure on furniture, materials, contractor costs, etc. The idea is it aligns their goals with yours, ensuring the project is successful, completed to a high standard, managing the budget effectively because their compensation literally depends on it.
Got it. Three different models, each suited to different project types and client styles. Okay, moving on. Questions 5 through 9 get more into experience and that crucial compatibility factor.
Right. Q5. Can you recommend local contractors? This is a big one. A designer's vision is only as good as the people who execute it. If they have a trusted, established network of contractors, plumbers, electricians, painters, that's a massive asset. It usually means more reliability, smoother scheduling, and sometimes those existing relationships might even translate into a slight discount for you. It signals they're established locally.
Definitely adds value. Okay, Q6 is a direct test of relevant experience. Have you done projects similar to mine? So if you're renovating a small apartment, you absolutely want to see other small apartments they've successfully transformed. And don't just settle for the glossy after photos, ask for the before shots, and even some in-process photos if they have them.
That's a really insightful point. Mm-hmm. Seeing the process reveals how they handle unexpected challenges, like weird structural issues. They uncover how they problem solve on the fly. Mm-hmm. It's not just about how they decorate a perfect finished space.
Exactly. Okay, Q7 tests style fit. This seems crucial for just a smooth collaboration. What is your favorite interior design style? Now, obviously, a good professional designer should be able to adapt to the client's taste, but
it's just so much easier if your styles align naturally. Mm-hmm. If their personal passion is, say, stark industrial minimalism and you're dreaming of layered maximalist opulence, you might be fighting their instincts the whole way. Yeah. Finding someone whose natural aesthetic resonates with yours just makes the creative process exponentially smoother and more enjoyable for everyone.
Makes total sense. Minimize friction. Q8 looks forward. What was your most recent project and what did you learn from it? This gives you insight into their current relevance, right? Are they keeping up with industry trends, using sustainable materials, integrating new tech, or just sticking to what they've always done?
Precisely. It confirms they're still actively learning, still innovating in the market. And yes, you can absolutely ask for a reference from that specific last client. It's a great way to get very current feedback.
Love that. Okay, Q9 is described as a kind of intuition check. What are your interior design must-haves? What does their gut tell them every space needs?
Yeah, their answer here reveals their underlying design philosophy, their core values. If they say something like natural light and seamless storage solutions, that tells you they prioritize function, flow, maybe wellness. If they say every room needs a touch of black and some exposed brick, well, that tells you they lean towards a very specific aesthetic. Their answer has to resonate with your actual lifestyle and what you need from your home, not just their personal taste.
It's like a little window into their design soul. Okay, that brings us to the final question, Q10. This one's framed as the most forward-looking, designed to test their strategic vision.
Right. Q10 is, how can I live better in my home in 5 years? Notice the wording. It's intentionally a bit vague. You're not asking about paint colors or sofa styles here. You're asking about the future of domestic functionality. How can the design support your life, not just now, but down the road? The response really tests their knowledge of the market, emerging trends, and especially smart living solutions or future-proofing concepts.
Okay, so what's an example of a really great answer here? Because if they just say, oh, you should put in a Nest thermostat, that feels kind of basic, right?
Exactly. That's table stakes now. A designer who's truly thinking ahead might discuss things like integrating dynamic sound dampening panels if you work from home for better acoustics, or maybe planning for hidden charging stations designed to handle future high-voltage devices we don't even have yet, or perhaps specify materials that passively improve indoor air quality, thinking about long-term health. Their answer needs to show they're considering a life for you in that space that maybe you haven't even conceived of yet. They're thinking beyond the immediate brief.
Wow. Okay. That really elevates the conversation beyond just aesthetics. So wrapping this all up, what does this whole process really mean for you, the listener?
It means you're empowered. It means finding the right help isn't just luck or a roll of the dice. It's a systematic process you can control. Doing your homework, defining the budget, setting that realistic timeline, curating that all-important inspiration folder. It simplifies the search massively. Mm. And then, once you're prepared, you use these 10 specific questions to effectively vet designers. You're ensuring competence, compatibility, and, crucially, shared strategic goals for your home. At the end of the day, a prepared client achieves a measurably better outcome. It's that simple.
That really is the ultimate strategic value, isn't it? The goal of bringing in an expert isn't just to make the house look pretty today. It's about future-proofing its functionality for how you'll live tomorrow. And building on that final question, maybe consider this before you even start your search. What essential knowledge gap does a designer fill for you? Something about smart living, sustainable design, long-term family function, something you don't even know you don't know yet. We challenge you to really think. How much does your current home design truly support how you want to live 5 years from now, not just how you happen to live today? That perspective, it changes the entire conversation you'll have.
That's a perfect challenge to end on. Really makes it think.
That's it for this deep dive. We really hope this roadmap helps you find that perfect design partner for your next project. We'll catch you next time.